Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Everybody doing well? Feeling good? Yeah? Are you ready for what the Lord laid on my heart this morning? I got to tell you that this has been burning in my spirit since a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, the Lord gave me the sermon title. I was sitting on the front row coming up to take up offering during a service. And the sermon title is called this, When Your Past Meets Your Future. When Your Past Meets Your Future is what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. How many of you know there's lots of occasions in our life where our past meets our future? And a lot of times it's unnoticeable. A lot of times when our past meets our future, it's a moment that's unnoticeable. It just transitions and you don't even think about it. But how many of you know that sometimes there's instances and moments where your past meets your future and it's a defining moment in your life? Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 33 is where we're going to be focusing on today. Now, we're going to be talking about Jacob and Esau, and we're going to be spending a lot of time on Esau today. And maybe you're unchurched, maybe you haven't been in church your whole life, and maybe you're unfamiliar with this story, but these are two fraternal twins. They're two brothers who were born but look completely different. Esau was born, and he was hairy, and he was redheaded, and he was big, and Jacob was smooth-skinned, and he was brunette, and he was small, but they were fraternal twins, and then they grew up at odds together. So we're going to start reading in Genesis 25, verse 29 through 33, and it reads like this. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. Edom simply means red. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day, because Esau was the older brother. So Esau had the birthright. He said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to once again be in your house. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to fill Pastor Ronnie's pulpit once again. Lord, I just pray that you would bless this service and the next. Father, that you would be in our midst this morning and we would be able to receive something from this message that you've laid on my heart and take it home and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever done something that you just absolutely regretted? Anybody? Yeah. Just sometimes, and it may be small, it may be large, but sometimes you've just done something and you absolutely immediately regretted it. There's been moments and times where I've done something and a few years later I regretted it. Or there's been times that I've done something and a few moments later I regretted it. And then there's been times that I've done something and immediately I regretted it. Amen? I remember being in fifth grade, and fifth grade, Steve, was kind of crazy, you know? And I remember a fifth grade field trip, and I lived in West Virginia at the time, and here there's a sixth grade field trip that goes to Washington, D.C., but when you live in West Virginia, the end of primary school is fifth grade, and the fifth grade field trip went to Nashville. Because you live in West Virginia. If you lived in Florida, you go to D.C. You live in West Virginia, you go to Nashville, right? That's just what you do. So we took a trip to Nashville, and over that week trip, fifth grade Steve had three different girlfriends. Can you believe that? Three different girlfriends. But the girl that I wanted to be my girlfriend wasn't my girlfriend at all. So I had three different girlfriends, and yet the girl that I was trying to catch her attention, the girl that I desired for her to be my girlfriend, wasn't paying any attention to me at all. Now, listen, I don't even remember that girl's name today, because when I met this girl in the front row, all those other girls just faded away, right? All those other names just went away. Nobody made any sense to me anymore once I met that girl. But I remember sitting around the pool with about 60 or 70 fifth graders, and I thought, what in the world can fifth grade Steve do to get this girl's attention? Now, you got to understand that around this time, there was a new movie that came out, and it was called Footloose. Does anybody know Footloose? Right? They redid Footloose recently, but there is no Footloose like the original Footloose, right? There is no Footloose like that. So that movie came out, and I thought, you know, if I could just dance like Ren in Footloose, I bet that that girl would really want to be my girlfriend. So I went out and I had what's called a boombox. And if you're under 40, you might not know what a boombox is. But I had a boombox and I placed it by the pool. And I had my Footloose soundtrack cassette. And again, if you're under 40, you might not know what a cassette is. But a cassette is something that was made with tape and plastic. And you put it in a boombox and it played music. Amen? And that was something that we used long before CDs ever came out. And if you're under 30, you might not know what a CD is. Well, a CD is a little disc that we put in there, and a laser plays music on it. And if you're under 20, you're like, I don't even know anything about all that. I just record it on my iPhone, right? I download it on my iPhone. I don't even know what you're talking about, Pastor Steve. And that's okay. But at this time, you had what was called a boombox and a cassette. And I put this cassette in the boombox. I started the song, and it was like, it started rocking, right? And then in front of 60 or 70 fifth graders, I began to run around like a crazy man trying to dance like Ren in Footloose. Now, because the music was so loud, and because I was so sweaty and trying to get the moves right, I didn't realize until the song went off that everybody was laughing at me. Matter of fact, I looked a lot less like Ren in Footloose, and I looked more like MC Hammer on drugs. And as soon as I got done, how many of you know, I immediately regretted what I did. I immediately regretted it. Have any of you in this room ever done that same thing? Probably not. You guys are like, absolutely not. I have never done that, right? Yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was a crazy moment that immediately when I got done, I regretted what I did. Amen? You may have some moments in this life that you regret that are small. And honestly, although at the time, that was a huge regret for me. And at the time, I had to finish out the rest of that whole school trip embarrassed and ashamed because of what I did and everybody making fun of me the rest of that trip. But how many of you know there's moments and times like that that are just funny little moments that you regret and funny situations that you deal with. But there's also moments in life where you do some things that cause you very much pain. Amen. You can make some decisions that moves into your life and starts to grow and create regret and starts to create pain. Esau, in this verse, how many of you think, when you read this verse, do any of you imagine maybe being a fly in the room or imagine listening and seeing how this came about? Like, was Esau really, did he really believe he was about to die? Did he really think that if he didn't have some of that red stew that he was really going to kill over and they were going to be having a funeral for him later that day? Probably not. You know, he probably walked in hungry, upset, just needing some food, probably a little bit hangry. Has anybody ever been hangry? Right, you're just not yourself, and you need a Snicker bar, right? Something is going on. And he walked in, and he was mad. And in that moment, Jacob took advantage of his situation. And Jacob called him out and said, sell me your birthright, and I'll give you this cup of stew. And this is what happened with Esau, is in that moment, he went ahead and said, fine, you can have my birthright. What is it to me? Right now, I need some stew. Right now, I need some food. Right now, I'm hangry. Right now, I'm hungry. And and I just need something to get me past this moment. I need something that's going to take me into the next moment. And I would venture to say that Esau thought that in that moment, although he said, fine, you can have my birthright, he probably didn't really believe that Jacob was going to take his birthright. He probably didn't really believe that in this moment that decision was going to cost him later in life. He probably didn't really believe that there was going to be a moment later in that chapter where he's crying and on the ground screaming because everything that was rightfully his was stripped from him. He probably didn't believe that in that moment that he was going to come to regret it a little later down the road. Amen? Esau made a split decision in a moment that would haunt him for life. See, we as human beings, we fail to see the larger picture at times, don't we? We look at things through Snapchat. We look at things through Instagram. We look at things through moments and filters and pictures of just a captured moment. If you're a little older, we look at things through Polaroid pics. You know, we look at things that are just captured in the moment. God sees things as an epic, and he sees the beginning, he sees the end, he sees everything in the middle all at the same time. And we view things as a snapshot in the moment. And a lot of times, how many of you know, we don't put any thought into what's going to come after that moment. Sometimes we make decisions, we say things, we do things thinking that it's only going to pertain to that moment, and we don't understand how it's going to affect us later in life. Here's a few mistakes that Esau made. Number one, Esau focused solely on the here and now, convinced tomorrow wouldn't actually come. Solely on the here and now. Sure, Jacob, you can have my birthright. But he didn't really believe that Jacob was going to get his birthright. You know why? Because he had a dad who loved him more than he loved Jacob. So he thought, yeah, sure, fine. I'll give you my birthright. Just give me the stew. And thought, there ain't no way that Jacob's going to actually get it. Right? He just, in the moment, he focused on the here and now. Number two, Esau relied on his natural giftings rather than God's plan for his life. How many of you know there's times that you rely on your natural giftings more than God's plan? There's times that you rely on your ability to get you out of the situation instead of God having a path for you to keep you from the situation to begin with. Sometimes we think that we're good enough that we can get ourselves in a bad situation, and we're good enough that we can get ourselves out of it. But the truth is, sometimes you can get caught. You can move into the situation and get caught and not be good enough to get yourself out of it and have to depend upon God to pull you out of that situation and clean you up. Esau thought his earthly father's love was going to override any of his poor decisions. Esau's short-sightedness caused him to give up the ultimate for the immediate. Do you recognize that all throughout the Bible, we see things about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? You hear about the fathers or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you realize that it was supposed to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau? That Esau was the firstborn? Esau had the birthright. Esau had the firstborn blessing, that it should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But because of how Esau flippantly lived his life, God took it and gave it to Jacob instead. Amen? Esau's limited vision even caused him to marry women outside of his faith. He went outside of his faith and married women just to make his parents mad. Esau's clouded vision blinded him from the devastating effects of his brother's deception. How many of you know that there's been times in our life, and there's been times in my life, and I don't know about you, where I've had limited vision and I've had clouded vision, and both of those things blinded me to the effects of my actions and what they were going to cause later in life. There's moments when we're like that. Because Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of red stew, the scripture says that he was called Edom. Anybody remember the Edomites in the Bible? Edomites were constantly fighting and clashing with Israel. There was constant, Israel were the descendants of Jacob, and Edomites were the descendants of Esau. Because of this problem, and because of the way Esau handled it, and because of the way Jacob handled it, later in life and hundreds of years later, there were still clashes in the kingdom. Hundreds of years later, there were still clashes over wells and over land and over people and over animals and over grazing pastures. There were still clashes between the Edomites and the Israelites, all because of Jacob and Esau hundreds of years earlier. Isn't that something? Could you imagine that something you do today might affect your family hundreds of years from now? Can you imagine that the way you live your life today could cause issue for some of your descendants down the road? Do you think that the way you live your life today could possibly harm your kids a little further down the road? Do you know that there's sometimes, and I know this for a fact, that there's decisions I've made in my life that have done things to my kids that I've had to go back and correct? That there's decisions that my wife and I have made that have harmed our kids, and we had to go back and trust God to move into the situation and correct it? Do you realize that those decisions mean something? Those decisions in the moment mean something. See, this decision didn't immediately cause problems for Esau, but it eventually did. When you give up the ultimate for the immediate, the impact won't be usually in the immediate, but it will be in the eventual ultimate. When you give up the ultimate for the immediate, you might not see it happen right now in front of you, but eventually it's going to take place in your ultimate. Eventually it's going to be what you see come to pass down the road. That's why even after turning your life over to Christ, you may still be feeling the decisions affecting you from your past. How many of you, even after receiving Christ, even after moving into the kingdom of God, even after attending church on a regular basis, have had moments where your past came back to haunt you? You've had moments where the decisions that you made in the past still affect you in your mind and in your spirit. They still affect you in your soul. You still deal with issues, old addictions or old situations. Things from your past still can rub elbows with who you are today. Amen? But how many of you know that Christ came to make all things new? Christ came to make all things new. Here's a couple of verses for you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 reads like this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are in behind and pressing towards the things that are ahead. Forgetting the things that hindered you in the past and moving forward into the things that God has for you in the future. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19 reads like this. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. How many of you love it when God does a new thing? See, I am doing a new thing in your life. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Although there's a definite line between the old you and the new you, both sides stretch into the time frame of both. So there's a you present, there's a you past, and there's a you future. Help me out, guys. Come help me, Eric, John, Rodney. So Eric is the you past, okay? These are the decisions, things in the past that have caused conflict in your life. John is the you present. This is you walking out day-to-day life, and Rodney is the you future. And if you guys could just rub shoulders, just stick your shoulders together, right? This is what it looks like to God. It's you past, it's you present, and it's you future, and it's on top of each other. See, it's not you past all the way over here, and then there's a big leap to you present, and then a big leap to you future, but they're actually on top of each other. They're actually rubbing shoulders. So you past who may have made some bad decisions, you past who may have done something wrong, you past who are still carrying conflicts from childhood or conflicts from things that affected you, is still rubbing shoulders with you present. And although you present may not be making those decisions or dealing with the things that you past did, you still rub shoulders with it. It still comes into connection with you. It still comes into contact with you. Now, you future is delivered and set free from all the things in you past. Aren't you happy for that today? Are you excited? Are you awake this morning at 8:30? Right? You future is set free from you past. But you future still rubs shoulders with you present. So it's a process that God uses to move you from one situation to the next, to move you through. How many of you know that God is so big that he can have a foot in your past and a foot in your future both at the same time? Amen? God created space and time. Therefore, he exists outside of it. Would you agree? See, there's a lot of things about God that we don't quite understand because we exist in space and in time because we're part of his creation, right? The guy who made my iPhone doesn't exist inside of my iPhone. The guy who created my phone exists outside of my phone and knows how it was created and knows how it's designed to work. God made you, and he exists outside of you. He exists outside of time and space, so he is not conflicted, or he's not constricted by space and time. Amen? So he can be in your past and in your present and in your future all at the same time, all in the same instance. God knew you in your mother's womb long before you ever gave your heart to him. Long before you came along and raised your hand in a service, God knew you in your mother's womb. Amen? Thank you, guys. Let's get back to Esau for just a moment. Genesis 27, 1 through 29, Isaac is preparing to pass on. Isaac is Jacob and Esau's dad, and he's coming to the end of his life. He's preparing to pass on, which means the birthright gets passed on, which means the blessings get passed on, which means the instructions, who takes lead, who takes over, gets passed on. Isaac is getting ready to pass on, and everybody is working behind the scenes to make sure they get what's coming to them. Everybody is working behind the scenes. Esau is just chill. Esau is just relaxed. Esau is just kind of like, whatever. I know that I'm going to get what's coming to me because Dad loves me. I know that I'm going to get it because Dad loves me. I know that I was his firstborn. He knows I was his firstborn. And it doesn't matter what Jacob does. I'm just going to take care of him. Right? And then Jacob and his mom are scheming behind the scenes. How would you like to be a part of this family? You got Jacob and his mom scheming. You got Esau and the dad. And the dad loves Esau and the mom loves Jacob. And there's this whole conflict and there's this whole parallel in the family where the mom and Jacob are on one side and the dad and Esau are on the other. And everybody is scheming. Mom and Jacob are scheming down low in the background trying to steal what rightfully belongs to Esau. Jacob steals Esau's firstborn blessing. He sneaks in, and Isaac comes to Esau and says, I need you to go and kill me something wild, right? And then come back and prepare it the way I like it, and then come in, and I'll bless you. Well, while he's gone doing what his dad asked him to do, Jacob and his mom sneak around, kill a goat. They put hair all over Jacob because Jacob was a smooth skin and Esau was hairy. They put hair all over Jacob and sent Jacob into the room as Esau to pretend to be Esau to steal the blessing. So he had already maneuvered Esau out of his birthright. And now he was maneuvering Esau out of his blessing. How many of you know that if Esau would have walked right earlier, that this moment in time probably wouldn't have happened? if Esau had not given up the ultimate for the immediate earlier, that this situation probably wouldn't have happened. If Esau had put Jacob in his place earlier, this moment probably wouldn't have happened. If Esau hadn't been so flippant about his birthright, if he hadn't been so flippant about his blessing, if he hadn't been so flippant about everything, this moment probably wouldn't have happened. Do you guys know that people will only do to you what you allow them to do to you? Esau allowed Jacob to steal from him. Esau allowed Jacob to mess with him. Esau allowed him to take advantage of him. Then in verse 30 through 34, we find Esau realizing the pain of his decisions. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also." We come to a moment that when Esau comes in from the field and prepares food for his father, and he walks in and his father begins to cry and says, "You were already here. I already gave away the blessing. I thought it was you, but it was Jacob. So not only did Jacob steal your birthright, but Jacob stole your blessing." And Esau, in a moment, comes to a conclusion of all the decisions that he's made up until now. Everything that he's done up until this point comes to a head. And the Bible says that Esau, when he heard the words of his father, cried an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said, "Can't you bless me also, father?" But he had responded, "Your brother has come with deceit and taken away your blessing." See, Esau played with Jacob until it cost him. Esau played around with Jacob until it cost him. There has to be a time in our lives as children of God that we have to realize that we have a deceitful enemy that's coming looking to steal away from us and steal our blessings. Looking to steal everything your heavenly father has for you. He's looking to take away a blessed marriage. He's looking to take away a blessed relationship between you and your kids. He's looking to take away your financial blessings. He's looking to take away your health. He's looking to jump in at any moment he can and steal from you the blessings that the heavenly father has. That's why you can't play with him. See, Esau played with Jacob until he got to a moment where it cost him dearly. It got to a moment where he was on his knees. There has to come a time when we realize it and we stop playing with our enemies. So you can allow what happened to you in the past to destroy your future, or you can make a choice to forget the past and look to the future. Press on toward the call. Press on toward the goal. Look to Jesus Christ. Amen? See, neither of these two brothers were honoring God in their decisions. But Jacob was working the system. That kind of stinks, doesn't it? Esau was flippant about what his father had for him. He was flippant about his birthright. He was flippant about his blessings. And because he was, it was easily taken from him. It was easily stolen. And although Jacob was a deceiver, he was working the system to get the blessings. He was working the system to get the birthright. But then there's something particular that happens towards the end of the scripture. We see, you know, it's a messed up family, like I said before. It's a messed up family. How many of you, yeah, I'm sure nobody in here has got a family like that, right? Nobody in here has a family that has some situations, has some moments, right? Every family has moments. Every family has situations. But then we see something peculiar that happens. We see a father shine through the mess for his son. As Esau was on the ground weeping beside his father's bed, and I took this from the Message Bible this morning because it's just the easiest to read and understand. In Genesis 27, 39 through 40, as we skip down towards the end of that chapter, this is what he says. He places a hand on Esau's head and he says, "You'll live far from earth's bounty, remote from heaven's dew. You'll live by the sword, hand to mouth, and you'll serve your brother. In this moment, Esau's chickens have come home to roost. Esau has made some decisions that have cost him dearly. And he knew that his father loved him. He knew that his father was going to look out for him. But in this moment, he realized that all of his decisions his earthly father couldn't fix. All of his decisions didn't matter at this point because Jacob had already deceived and stolen. So he said to him, "You'll live far from earth's bounty, remote from heaven's dew. You'll live by the sword, hand to mouth, and you'll serve your brother. But," and this is where the next line comes in, "but when you can't take it anymore, you'll break loose and run free." Yes, you'll serve your brother. Yes, you'll make some mistakes. Yes, you'll have some situations that cost you dearly in this life. Yes, some of the decisions you made in your past will rub shoulders with your present. Yes, that even though you're serving God, and yes, even though you're walking close to Him, and yes, even though you're coming to church, some of your decisions in your past are still affecting your present. Some of your decisions in the past are still sneaking up on you. They come in and they can still take advantage of you. They can still trick you. They can still come and steal from you. And yes, that happens. But when you decide that nothing in your past is going to affect your future, that nothing that hinders your present right now will hinder your future, that although the past may have chains linked to your present, that you decide that in that moment you're going to break free from those chains and you're going to walk free into your future, that in that moment, although it has some chains and some grip on your present and the past is still gripped there, that when you decide in that moment, when you make the decision, you're going to break free from those chains and walk free into your future. Amen. This was a dad that was speaking. This was a true blessing over Esau. He said he was speaking the truth, wasn't he? Don't our kids need to hear the truth from us at times? There's going to be times that you make decisions that are poor. There's going to be moments where you make decisions that are going to harm you. There's going to be moments that you're going to drag things around. You may drag addictions around. You may drag any of your poor decisions. But when you decide, when you make the decision, when you decide, you can break free and run. Amen. Here's the main idea of this message this morning. There comes a time when your past meets your future and the chains of your past are holding you from taking one more step. And you have to decide in that moment to break loose and run free. See, I had my guys up here in illustration earlier. There's moments where your past keeps you captive. There's moments where things that you've done back here keep you captive. And it's like an old junkyard dog that's on the end of a chain and he can only get so far. And he feels like he's free and he's running, but eventually he gets yanked back by the chain. Eventually, he gets pulled back. And there's moments like that in our own lives where we give our heart to Christ and we start to serve Him and we start to move forward. But then there comes a moment where you get yanked back by the chain. And I've seen folks come to this church and get delivered and get set free. And I've seen people come to this church and get happy about Jesus but not get set free. There's a difference. Because eventually, if you don't get set free, if you don't decide to break loose and run free, then eventually that chain is going to keep you back. Eventually that chain is going to keep you from moving forward. And you're only going to get so far into the future that God has for you when you're still attached to your past. But when you get to the end of that chain, you can stay there and you can live there in the pretty good. I mean, you know, sometimes we're okay with living in the pretty good. Sometimes we're okay with living in the, hey, this ain't so bad. This is better than it used to be. And yes, I'm still tempted. And yes, I'm still have issues with the past. And yes, I even take a step back or two here and there. But then I walk back to the end of my chain. And I take a few steps back here and there. But then I walk back to the end of my chain. And then I fall all the way back deep into my past for a couple of weeks. But then I come to myself and I walk back to the end of my chain. But all the time, that chain is still attached to you. All the time, that chain of your past keeps you from taking one more step. You get to the point where you can't even take one more step, and you say, okay, I guess I'm living here in the pretty good. Okay, I guess I'm going to live here in the almost free. Okay, I guess I'm going to live here and I'm going to praise God and serve Jesus, but I can't take one more step yet. But there has to come a time. There has to come a time when you're done with all of this. When you're done with everything that keeps you chained to your past. And when you decide that that time has come. When you decide that it's not going to affect you any longer. When you decide that I need to take one more step. When you decide that the chain that's holding me is way too heavy. And God says that I can break it. God says that I can move forward. God says that I can have it. And when you come to that chain right there, you decide to break free and run loose. Amen? You decide to break loose and run free. That's right. Too many times I see people come in and get happy about Jesus, but they don't break loose and run free. They don't break loose and run free. Come help me close, Josh. Would you guys just close your eyes and bow your head for me? You may be hindered by your past here this morning. Maybe it's that sin that you just can't shake free of. Maybe it's an addiction that's been hindering your race and it's just kept you locked in. Maybe it's a broken marriage that still torments you even though it was years ago, and it still torments you. Maybe it's an unplanned pregnancy. Maybe it's those moments that because you're still attached to your past that you deal with, moments that you're just not pure. Or maybe it's just simply moments that you pick the good over God. Here's the great news today. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And 1 John 1:9 says this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you're in this place today, and I don't feel led to bring you to the altars, but
thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.